Blog Talk Radio.
It ain't a game no more, it's a sport. If you ain't got a heart to play, then stay off the court. It ain't a game no more, it's a sport. If you ain't got a heart to play, then stay off the court. It ain't a game no more, it's a sport. If you ain't got a heart to play, then stay off the court.
We on some life shit, we on some life shit.
Pick up a chair, sit your ass down, and relax. You are now listening to Life and Shit Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, teddy bear is essums and teddy bear is essences. Yeah.
What?
Cold, right? Cold, right? I just made that shit up. It's cold.
What is it?
Teddy bear essums kind of puts
what
a little
does that mean?
Feel. That means teddy bears, but a male version of a teddy bear. See how I put the S-S-ms in there? So it adds
I
a little
cannot,
bit of masculinity to it. See what I'm saying? Anyway.
I cannot and I will not.
Welcome to another wonderful, awesome, exciting, long time no hear from version of episode of Life and Shit Radio. My name is Nas. I'm a Libra. Very important. Sometimes I get
extremely
mad and I flip fish tank. You missed that one, didn't
damn
you?
Damn. I totally caught that like an outfielder.
It went over
sometimes
my
I'm
head.
Chill, like, sometimes I'm chill like Michigan weather. But nonetheless, enough about me. I'd like to welcome my wonderful family, friends, and co-hosts to the show right now. What's going on, guys? Who's going first?
Yes, yes, yes. And as requested, Danny, my story is simple.
Oh, really? Let's see.
Oh,
I
was
boy.
Conceived.
Here we go.
On an opera stage. My parents.
Does he got the Young and the Restless song? Oh, my God.
He has music. He has
they
music
got a little freaky. They got real, real freaky to the point where a star was born. I mean, my story is similar to Luciano Pavarotti. His son, his father trained him to be the great opera singer that he was, and my father trained me to be the great opera singer, thespian, all around sanger, all around gangbanger, all around freestyle
gangbanger
mixer. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Hence the name Black Pavarotti. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
That's it?
He got pumped because he got music. He got music. He has music.
Oh, man.
That was it.
Okay. Wow. Okay, and I am Danny. I am a Taurus. I didn't know what to even do with that. Okay, so like I said, my name is Danny, otherwise known as Danny's Window. I am a Taurus, as well as my partner, VP. We are the two Tauruses versus this Libra over here anyway.
Hey.
I am
Bulls
I am
run the world, baby.
Of, yes, we do. Anyway, I am lover of all things. I promote love, and as my Instagram status says today, I choose to live and lead with love. That's it.
All righty. Well, together we are Life and Shit Radio, all up in your eardrums all day long and all day strong, continuing to bring you nothing but the real. We always change our phone number around here because we like the government. We like to run and hide in places. So the number to call today is 661-554-9114. That's 661-554-9114 is the phone number to call if you want to jump into the conversation. As always, you can hit us up on our email address. That is Life and Shit Radio, LifeAndShyt at gmail.com. That's the email that you can just write away. You can just click those little fingers on your phone and just type away as much as you want. No character restriction. Type away, my friend. Type away. Where else can they find us, Danny?
They can also find us on Instagram and I believe Twitter at Life and Shit. That's LifeAndShyt. And where else can they catch us at, Nas?
They can find us in the club, out of full of look. I do that every week, right? It just seems like it fits.
It does.
You can find us on Facebook, Life and Shit Radio. You know how we get down. The page is up and running, I do believe, and we're going to get that shit cracking pretty soon. But that's you can find us on Facebook.
Seeing now that Nas has actually deactivated himself from Facebook, you can catch him now on the IG, where he is causing havoc in a whole nother social media platform. So definitely reach out to Nas in that platform because he will definitely get you noticed. I'm just saying.
Word.
But yeah, that's what it is. This is Life and Shit Radio, all up in your eardrums, all day long and all day strong. We just love the peoples. That's all. We just love the peoples. That's all it is. But you know what? I think it's about that time. We're going to let Bishop take it away. Go ahead, Bishop. Take it away.
Come on, Bishop.
I just want to know something.
What's that?
Do you remember the time? I just need you to know this because why? Because I love us.
Hold our breath.
For real.
He fucked me up.
I mean,
he fucked me up with that one. I wasn't ready for that one. And listen, so
In other news, I'm
literally like concerned. Like, is his house on fire? Did a cat run out the street? Get ran over? What
right.
is going on now? You got me.
Good. So, and moving on into the program, we're in our segment that we affectionately like to call What the Fuck You Been Doing. Simple, plain, and simple. That's all it is. What the fuck you been doing? What you been doing with your life? Are you raising your kids? Are you slapping babies on the ass? Are you working hard to make that almighty dollar? The fuck you been doing? That's the question. All you have to do is give us an answer. So Nas, the fuck you been doing?
Well, it's gonna sound a little weird. I've been killing rats. I've been killing rats. I've been cleaning my life up and getting rid of the toxic people, whether male or female, out of my life. Working, steadily building my brand, and on top of that, I haven't cursed anybody out in like 48 hours. I think that's really important.
No. Congratulations.
I definitely applaud that.
Applause.
I've had some arguments. It's been some pretty close calls about recent incidents that we'll talk about next week. But other than that, it's been pretty smooth sailing, actually. Nothing new to report.
That's awesome. That is awesome to hear. Well,
yeah.
I can tell you what the fuck I've been doing. So I have been on a personal quest to renew myself, to be a new BP.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. I've been doing a lot of reading. I've been doing a lot of studying. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, ironically.
Wow.
Just trying to get my mind right, man, and get my mind focused on, like you said, Nas, creating a brand.
That's correct.
Because when you have a brand, guess what you have? You have an asset. Your brand is your asset. So that's what the fuck I've been doing. I've been working on my brand. I have been dealing with teenager shit still. I don't think that's going to stop until they turn 18 and get the hell out of my house. But
that's
a whole other story.
That's a rough ride. I can respect that. Teenagers are young.
But that's what it is, man. Other than that, I've just been enjoying life, spending time with my girl, going to the movie, dating.
First of
doing
all
that good stuff.
First of all, I got a question. The show didn't even know you were dating.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. I was about to be like we gonna really go past that part? For real, for real?
Yeah.
We just gonna go right past that, huh?
Her name is simply Miss Stevens. But that's only
like
you can ask it.
Okay. Like,
so Danny,
you get on my nerves, dude.
What the fuck you been doing?
The same thing that I'm always doing. Bettering myself while I'm going to school, while being mom still, no matter where I am in the world in comparison to them, and encouraging them, and just really just learning to really love myself at this point. So, yeah, and in my Danny's window, I will talk about it. So, you gentlemen,
hey, be
prepared, because it's not anything that I have even spoken to you guys about.
Hey. Well, all righty then. Ladies and gentlemen, that was... What were you going to say?
I was basically saying, she basically sticking over at East Coast for a heroin. So that's what I don't know.
You said what?
You're the heroin dealer on the West Coast now? That's what I don't know. You said we didn't
know
about
I'm not.
It, so.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not that at
was,
all. No, you don't have to worry about that.
I was wrong. That's okay. I've been wrong before.
And you know what?
Yes, you got perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
I start a little puff giving this motherfucker. You down?
Oh my gosh. But yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen, that
that's all
is
I've been up to.
What the fuck you doing? And in case you don't know what the fuck you're doing, you are listening to Life and Shit Radio. We are all up in your eardrums all day long and all day strong, continuing to bring you nothing but the real. Phone number to call in is 661-554-9114. That's 661-554-9114. Phone number to call. You can also hit us on our email at lifeandshit@gmail.com. We are always there and always available to you, the listener. We appreciate you. We love you. We appreciate your energy. Keep bringing it day in and day out on Life and Shit Radio. So our topic for tonight is Stockholm Syndrome, what it is, how to notice it, and what can we learn from it. For those of you that don't know what Stockholm Syndrome is, I'm going to give you a little lesson today. I'm going to teach you something. You're going to learn today. Can you concur with that, Nas, that they're going to learn today?
You're going to learn today and possibly tomorrow and the day after that.
I can't stand y'all.
You will be edumacated today. Is that better?
Instead of in the last few episodes where we were grand bitches, right now you're just gonna learn something today. So listen to this.
Victims of Stockholm Syndrome develop compassion and loyalty towards their captors. The condition follows psychologically traumatizing situations like hostage situations and kidnappings. In fact, Stockholm Syndrome got its name in 1973 when two thieves accosted a bank in Stockholm, Sweden, taking four bank employees hostage. For 6 days, the prisoners were held in a bank vault, tied to explosives with nooses around their necks. During a rescue attempt, police were shocked when the captives took offense, siding with the captors. Like the Stockholm victims, people who develop this condition endure situations where they're forced to contemplate the reality of severe injury or death. In order for Stockholm Syndrome to develop, a victim must also perceive that her captors have shown occasional kindnesses. Being permitted to eat, not being punished for a so-called transgression, and even being allowed to live are all considered benevolent to someone with Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, so that's pretty much in a nutshell what it is. How can we notice it? Have you ever been around somebody that possibly could be suffering from that? Abuse goes a long way, and this is one of the things that is rarely talked about in certain communities, specifically the black community.
A lot of times
when we're dealing with abuse, you know, it's not really, it's kind of like shunned upon to be talked about. When I think that this is a condition that really needs to be put on the forefront, and people really need to know about it because it's a serious, serious issue. And it's going on in households all over the world every day. Children are being involved with this. It's a rough situation. So in today's show, we're going to talk about the R. Kelly situation, where he has allegedly been holding these women against their will and doing unspeakable things, not feeding them, making them do weird sexual favors for him, amongst all other things. So I got a couple clips that we're going to play. Just listen to this.
and correct me if I'm wrong, that you, they are still talking about you with underage girls. Do you still sit here and say you have never been with underage girls? Can you really say that?
I sit here and say this. I had two cases back then that I said in the beginning of the interview that I would not talk about because of my ongoing case now.
Okay,
fair enough. But okay. I will tell you this. People are going back to my past, okay? That's exactly what they're doing. They're going back to the past, and they're trying to add all of this stuff now to that, to make all of the stuff that's going on now feels real to people.
But the past is relevant with you with underage girls.
Absolutely, no, it's not.
Why?
Because, for one, I beat my case.
No,
when you beat something, you beat it.
You were acquitted.
We can't double jeopardy me like that. You can't. Mm-hmm. It's not fair. It's mm-hmm. not fair to nobody. When you beat your case, you beat your case.
But I'm not talking about the one case in which you were acquitted. I'm talking about the other cases where women have come forward mm-hmm. and said, R. Kelly had sex with me mm-hmm. when I was under the age of 18. Mm-hmm. R. Kelly was abusive to me mm-hmm. emotionally and physically and verbally.
Okay.
R. Kelly took me in a black room where unspeakable things happen. This is what they're saying about you.
Not
this,
true.
These aren't old rumors.
Not true. Whether they're old rumors, new rumors,
why would they
future
say this
rumors,
about you?
Not true.
Wow.
What say you, Nas?
Oh, wow. That whole interview, man, was pretty explosive. But I don't think it really hit me as hard as the one after that, where she interviewed the women, the girlfriends of R. Kelly. That was when you
yeah.
really
okay.
got to see Stockholm Syndrome at its finest. And to know, I think that in the actual like report when they were doing the interview, one of the producers said that R. Kelly was in the background asking, should he stop the interview? Like, these women are trained, yo. Trained. Like puppies. It's kind of, I mean, it's sickness. It is what it is. I think I understand from being in that position. I guess I can kind of see it as where you kind of sympathize with your captor, but like what's being shown right now with R. Kelly's demise, in my personal opinion, is the textbook clinical definition of Stockholm Syndrome. Like, psychiatrists will be using this shit well after we gone to say this is what it looks like. That's my belief.
Yeah, I mean that's a real situation. And he even went so far, you know, when asked about was he holding these girls against their will and you know, was he not feeding them and keeping them locked up in rooms and things like that? He goes further to say that would be idiotic for him to do. Listen to this.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that you have never held anybody against their will.
I don't need to.
That,
why would I?
Well, I'm
how stupid would it
never
be
held
for
anybody.
R. Kelly, with all I've been through in my way, way past, to hold somebody, let alone 4, 5, 6, 50, you said. How stupid would I be to do that?
I didn't say you
were
holding. That's
stupid, guys.
I didn't.
Is this camera on me?
Yes.
That's stupid. Use your common sense. Don't forget the blogs. Forget how you feel about me. Hate me if you want to. Love me if you want. But just use your common sense. How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, oh, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement, and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some
unless
shoes down the street from their uncle.
Robert,
stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing.
Robert.
I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life.
Motherfucking life, man.
I was at the bond hearing and the arraignment a couple of weeks ago, and I was there as I watched at least one of the women that he's charged with sexually abusing cry as some of the charges were read. You know, he's facing some serious allegations here. That woman that I spoke to said it was BS she thought that he even had an opportunity to get out on bail. But and I was also there when he walked out of jail after posting bail. And you had people there that were supporters, people singing his music as he walked out. And then you had people there that were calling him all kinds of names because they believe these women who have said that they were sexually abused by him. He has a court date on March 22nd. He's facing 10 counts of aggravated sexual abuse. That could carry up to 70 years behind bars. We're talking four victims, including three minors dating back as far as 1998. He's got over $160,000 that is due in child support. The big takeaway for me for this interview is that he is very angry, that he is sad by some of these allegations that he's hearing about.
What say you, Danny?
I say that this is deeper than him. And I am on the bandwagon of he needs help. And that he is a symptom. He's not the problem. He is a symptom of the problem. So I come from a whole different perspective than all of this. Yes, I understand people want him to, I guess, in essence, pay for what they say that he's done or whatever. I think the man is sick. I think he needs help. And I don't think jail is going to help it. It's going to make it worse. Our prison system is not set up to help anybody while you're bullshitting. But I think this is deeper than him. I really do.
All of the charges that he's facing, you know, 10 counts of aggravated sexual abuse, which can carry 70 years. He's allegedly accused of dealing with four victims, three of which are minors. So, I mean, that's some serious stuff there, man. You're dealing with these young girls. And what it sounds like to me is that he's dealing with those young women that have low self-esteem, or older women, you know, because some of the women that he's dealt with have been of age. But this can also apply to women, too. But, you know, the majority is more on the male side, that, you know, there has to be some kind of program or some kind of meetings that can be set up to where, you know, these guys can have somebody to talk to be able to air out their dirty laundry, so to speak. You know, no pun intended, but I mean, to come out the closet is basically what it is. Come out the closet. Tell that you've been abused. Tell your story about your own abuse, because I think that a lot of this comes from, you know, that person dealing with their own abuse.
I agree with you, but that's easier said than done, because see, this is the thing, and this is the part of when I do understand people are wanting, you know, the masses to know, and you get a lot done through media and things like that. But when you go, when you start talking about these types of issues, you have to take into consideration a few things. And the most major thing that you have to consider is the person that's actually been through it. And do they want to relive this all over again? As a person that has been through this, it's never an easy thing to relive that, to have to talk about it. I've gotten way better, but there are those that are still traumatized to the point of you know, being completely handicapped by it. And I understand why they get there, but again, he's not the problem. The problem is the way women are seen and viewed, period. Especially in this case, black women and females, how we're seen in this. By the age of by the age of seven, I believe, they've already sexualized us. We never have a chance. So you see us as sexualized, which means that you see us of a mindset or of an age appropriate that you can look at us in that way. So if that's happening from the age of seven, are you really looking at her as the child that she is? Are you listening to her? Are you paying attention to her? Or, and we can even go a little deeper with this. You can ask this for the young men too, the boys. Are we listening
right
to our children? This is not just a what was done to women. This is an abuse situation. It doesn't have a gender on it. In this situation, it does because he likes women or whatever. But this is something that happened to him. He's a symptom. He's a product of it. Someone did it to him. He did it to someone else. And someone may have done it to the person that did it to him. We don't know that. But you can't it's really hard for me. I'm not cold. I'm not a cold-hearted person. I'm not one of those person who feels like once bad, always bad. I feel that he has a problem and he needs help. Now, the question is, does he think he needs help, and is he willing to get the help, and can he get through that? Because it's a lot of shit that is upon you when you've been victimized. And this is not a...
That's true.
If someone says, well, you're trying to humanize him, he is a human. This is mental and emotional shit. This is deeper than the man that he is. This is something that created. This is about what created this and how it is continually perpetuated in the black homes, to where when a little girl says something or a little boy says something, we tell a little girl that she's being fast, or we look at the little boy as though he must be gay or something like, or he did something wrong. Or as a matter of fact, sometimes when it's a young man and it's an actual woman, they're looked at as, oh shit, he hit the men in the situation to look at it like, oh shit, he got to hit the chick, he got to hit the honey. You're not looking at what that does to him psychologically, though. You're not looking at how any of this is affecting these children psychologically. And you wonder why we have a generation of people, few generations of people, who feel like no one loves them, no one listens to them, no one understands them. Because by all means and all accounts, nobody is listening. We're looking at the problem. We're looking at R. Kelly did this, so we're going to make this big and huge. Okay, how about we make this about what it really is? It's about the abuse cycle.
I hate the fact that this whole situation is kind of like being portrayed because of R. Kelly. Like, R. Kelly is the only abuser out here.
He's not.
It's making it seem like it's only one gender that can be capable of abuse right now.
And that is
so
not true.
Let's not get the game twisted. There are also women who are equally abusive, and can make men suffer from Stockholm syndrome. They can sympathize with the captors. So
I think that is one
of the symptoms too.
But that's why I don't think that we can really make this a gender specific situation. This is all across the board.
That's correct. But the way it's being portrayed,
there are boys that have been molested. There are girls that are molested.
Yep.
It's just looked upon. They feel like because men are so powerful that women can't do it. No, I'm sorry, but I know that there are some actual very abusive females out there, and I can't stand that. One of my biggest pet peeves is the emasculation of men, because you feel like it, or because you feel in some kind of way. Go sit somewhere. Go sit down somewhere and deal with your issues. Same way I say that to a dude. You go somewhere and sit down and deal with your issues. Why do you feel the need to make people feel like this? Because something has been done with you. Okay, so then we need to deal with the fact that this is what's happening. What is the root of it so we can stop all this bullshit? I'm tired of the distractions and everything. If you want to deal with it, deal with it. If you don't, then walk the fuck away. But what I will not do is sit here and act like the problem is one person. It's not.
And if you're just listening in, this is Life and Shit Radio, all up in your eardrums, all day long and all day strong, continuing to bring you nothing but the real. Right now, we're deep inside our topic, talking about Stockholm Syndrome and how to notice it, and what can we learn from it. Specifically talking about the R. Kelly situation, where he is currently facing charges, a span of charges that range from aggravated sexual abuse to four victims, three of which are possibly minors or would have been minors when he did the act. It's crazy. If you want to jump into this conversation, the phone number is 661-554-9114. That's 661-554-9114 to jump in the conversation. So, Nas, you had a thought that you were going into, and I think that this clip would probably explain a lot of what you were talking about. Got a clip from an Asante McGee. She was on the DD in the Morning show, and she talks about how R. Kelly had these crazy rules of calling him daddy.
Yeah.
And she also stated that he had some weird fetishes. So listen to this.
I met him officially 2014 January,
mm-hmm.
and which I was formally introduced.
Okay.
And that's when he gave me his number. And then we had our first sexual relationship February 2014. I dated Rob for a little over 2 years. In the first beginning of the 2 years, I was considered what you call a fly-in, meaning that I was able to come and go as I pleased. It was not until he moved me into his house the summer of 2016 when I actually considered trapped. And when I say trapped, I was not held captive. I was mentally trapped. I was 35 years old, and he had a promo tour for the Black Panty Store in Atlanta. It was a four-day weekend. So I actually met someone from the entourage, and later someone from the entourage introduced me to him, and then I was invited back to hang out with them the January of 2014, the following year. After being involved with him and witnessing the things that he's done to me and the other girls that was there, I felt I needed to contact those parents. Mm. So I did whatever I could to contact those parents, and when I contacted them, I let them know what was going on, but I did not reveal my identity to them because I wasn't sure if they was aware of it and, you know, if they would go back and tell. The house was located in Johns Creek, Georgia. The house was, I want to say, about 7 bedrooms. We all had our own room. Now, at the time, it was only me and 2 other girls in the house.
Were you guys all considered his girlfriend?
Yes. One of them was the trainer. And then the other girl, she trained us how to please him. He actually introduced me to the trainer April of that year prior to him moving me to the house. Yeah. He was honest with me, and the reason why I accept that because my ex-husband was abusive to me. He cheated on me, had a baby on me, different things like that. So when Rod was honest with me in the beginning, I respected that because my ex-husband was not. Because of who he was, I would have been a fool to not believe that, I was the only girl. By the first week, by the second week, I was trying to figure out how I was going to leave that house. If he's telling you welcome home, but how is this my home if I can't walk freely in this house? Say if I want to come out my room, I have to first text him or call him and say, Daddy, can I come out my room? He told me these rules. And the trainer, you know, if she saw I did something wrong, she would be like, oh, no, you can't do this. You have to do that. But for the trainer, she was more there sexually than anything. If he did not respond, then I had to come out my room and literally stomp until someone heard me to come downstairs.
What do you mean stomp?
Like literally knock. He moved me into the house the end of May of 2016,
mm-hmm.
and I left the second week of June. So it was that Wednesday before Father's Day of 2016. See, that's where a lot of people get the confusion. They think he abused me. He did not. He did have his controlling things, but it wasn't nothing that I felt that was too crazy. You know, texting my whereabouts, let him know when I'm at the airport, different things like that. And that's why I receive a lot of backlash because, you know, they're thinking that I said that I was with him for the whole time and he abused me, and that's why, you know, but that's not the case. Originally, when I was going to leave, he had a show in New Orleans for Father's Day. I was going to have somebody come and get me there and never return. But I actually got into an altercation with the sexual trainer. And one of his assistants was like, Mr. Kelly, Asante and so-and-so about to get into a fight. So, you know, he called me asking what was going on. And I told him, and he told me I had a black woman syndrome, that I didn't like another woman to tell me what to do, especially a young woman, meaning that she's just abusive as he is, verbally. The third lady, she was 18 years old. I remember seeing her the year before, summer, and she was 17 years old. It's crazy because when I moved into the house, I remember seeing this girl twice prior to me moving in. The first time I saw her, which was in Connecticut, he had like 2 concerts in Connecticut and in New Jersey.
Okay.
And at that time, I thought she looked really young, but I'm like, okay, maybe she just looked younger for her age. She was sitting on his lap. And so then I saw her earlier, I think later on, in Oklahoma at another concert, but her back was facing me, and he was rubbing on her butt. So I was confused. Everything was normal. So I guess that's when he was just molding me to meeting the other girls. But he didn't formally introduce me to her then. It's Azarel.
Okay.
And when I contacted both parents and I told them what, you know, he's done to me and what I've witnessed their kids do, I felt that they did not know and they were not okay with it. As far as Azarel, I witnessed her perform fellatio in front of me, his one of his assistants and the trainer, and we were just all in the cigar room, and I just started hearing moaning and stuff, and I looked up and everybody just seemed like it was normal. He started telling me, you know, to call him, like I had said Rob, and he was like, no, you call me Daddy. And I was like, Daddy? I mean, anything that I needed, you know, I'll ask him. And then even, like, when I fly in or something like that, he made sure I was taken care of. I mean, it could range from a couple of hundreds to maybe, like, $1,000, $2,000, whatever, depending for you to go shopping. When you went shopping with each other, if you did go shopping with each other, it was somebody watching to make sure that you spent all of the money because he didn't want you saving up money to have a come-up.
Wow. Man, I mean, I'm like, dude, you, what kind of upsets me about this, and it's kind of hard to talk about a little bit, but, you know, it's just the fact that, you know, you got these young girls, man, they ain't even experienced life all the way, man. And, you know, they think that they got this good deal going on with this guy, and their parents thinking that, you know, oh, she's gonna be a superstar because, you know, she's in the studio with R. Kelly, not knowing that, you know, especially that one female that he was talking about that's been with him for 16 years. That was Azrael. That was one of the chicks that the light skinned girl that really didn't say much in the interview with Gayle King with those two. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was pretty much just shaking her head. Yes, yes, yes. That's who she was talking about. Which it just blows my mind, man.
Oh my God!
That nobody could talk to her, I don't know. I mean, some of it I can say it's the parents' fault because they didn't, you know, they knew what they were getting themselves into. I think, even though I know on the interview, you know, Asante said that they didn't know. I think they did know a little bit.
Yeah, they had to. I agree.
Well, see, this is the thing. With everything, there are choices being made. Now, those girls that are with him still, yes, I believe when they got together, they were young. They're still there. My issue with this whole thing is, why are we talking about this now? Why wasn't we talking about this before they turned 18 and before all of this, you know, before they were, you know, why weren't we talking about this then? Why are you coming to the TV outlets now? Why was it that when she was 16, 17, or however old, 15 or whatever, you didn't go then? I also, the people that were around, why are you allowing this shit to happen? It's a lot of different things, and it's a lot of people and key players that are to blame for this. But again, this is all symptoms of some shit that's been going on forever. We can go along with this story all day long, and I hear what she's saying, but like she said, she knew what the fuck she was doing. Again, this is not I'm not saying R. Kelly ain't did shit wrong or whatever, but I would like for the conversation to be what it really needs to be about. And it's not R. Kelly. It's really not. Where's the help? Where's the understanding of people? Where are the parents? Where are the love that these babies need to feel so they don't feel the need to go and be treated like this? I think we had a conversation when we actually talked about having this show in regards to, you know, how girls are brought up when it comes to sex and how boys are brought up when it comes to sex. Boys, y'all grow up masturbating. Nobody says shit to y'all. They understand it. They let y'all do it. Oh, he in the bathroom? Oh, I know what he doing. I'm just saying. I'm saying that because I've been there. I wasn't the one who was like, oh, I know what he doing. No, I was the one that was like, oh, my God, are you serious? No, I was the parent that was like, are you serious? Oh, my God. My husband had to be like, yeah, that's what he's doing. Because he's a boy. He's a man. He knows what that is. He grew up with that. Me, on the other hand, as a female, I didn't grow up with that. I grew up with the whole thing that sex is bad. Oh, my God. Your body. Once you start developing breasts and you get a period, oh, my God, you are nasty. We're not taught to love our bodies. We're not taught to even understand our bodies while you're bullshitting. We're just taught that, oh, now that you're able to get pregnant, oh, you're nasty. What would happen if we taught our girls how to love their bodies?
Well, you know, I've heard that argument from you before, Danny. I'm not disagreeing, but I think that, like, the tides have kind of shifted a little bit. Like, back in the day, women were easily manipulated. Like, speaking about my adopted mother, for one, I told people this week that, you know, I talked to or whatever on the regular, that my mom was bred for, like, one thing. Being a housewife, meaning pregnant, no shoes, and can clean real good. So they were really easy to be manipulated.
Hold
on, let me finish this out.
Because what you just said is really key. What you just said is really key. You said that women were easily manipulated. And my question to that is, why? Because it was set up that way. And that's what I'm talking about. It's the setup.
Danny,
go ahead, continue. I'm just saying that part. I just want to say that part. Go ahead.
I don't truthfully believe it was a setup. I just think it's a changing of the guard. Back in the day, women were considered to be the weaker vessel, and then we had the 90s and 2000 explosion where women kind of took their own and was like, hold on, I can do more than wash dishes and have kids. Like, I can work a full-time fucking job. And that led to equality as far as pay, which still has a couple of different wishes. It's getting closer than it was before. Everybody can admit that. So it put a different shift on things. So now I think that what this generation has to focus on is the lessons that were learned from the two previous generations and not look at women as the weaker vessel. I think at that point you'll have a more freedom in society as far as sexuality is concerned, because everything will be put on an even playing field. So things have, I think, progressed. I'm not a total fucking pessimist. In that area, I think things have progressed, and I understand how each generation before where we are now, I understand kind of how they think or how they thought. It didn't make sense. I don't agree with it, but I understand it.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I do understand that. What I'm saying is, what if we didn't go with the norms? Because everything that you said was brought by men.
Yeah, but
how
I mean,
everything,
now
everything,
things
are just listen. Things are changing, but what I'm saying is, what if? This is the what if. I don't do what ifs all the time. But what I'm looking at is what has been hasn't been working. So if our women felt more confident within themselves, were actually taught how to love their bodies, because we're not. We're not taught that. We're taught that we're nasty. Y'all are not taught that. And to be honest with you, and yes, I've seen some nasty women, but y'all are nasty.
I'm understanding
that as well. No, it ain't all that different.
But you know,
being really
honest,
you know
what though?
What I'm saying is, if I felt confident in my body and I felt confident within myself, I wouldn't need necessarily to seek out that from a man. I would know who I am, and he knows who he is. So therefore, we both know who we are, and then we can love each other equally, in the way we're supposed to be. She's not to feel like she's ashamed because she's a woman. Oh, a woman shouldn't do that. That's what I'm talking about. I do understand that that's the way things were. What I'm saying is, how do we stop that? How do we teach something different? Because the whole thing, I had a conversation with my girl this morning about, I'm not necessarily down with the whole feminist movement thing, the Me Too movement thing, because I'm sorry, but I don't think that just because you're pro something that you're supposed to be anti something. What I'm saying is, how are we all strengthened by it?
Well,
if women are strengthened,
you all
are strengthened as well.
I understand that point of view, but I just don't, like, it seems like right now what you're speaking on, like, the things are, like, pretty much stagnant, and it's not. I mean, in my opinion, it's not. Like, back in the day, I do understand if I was with a chick and she was masturbating, that was considered, oh, you a hoe. Like, you a whore. You want to fuck everything moving. Like, you, like, I can't really fuck with you because you, I, like, you, I come in the crib and you playing with your pussy. You know, like, that's a thing. Now,
to be honest with you,
if I walk in the crib and you playing with it, I'm probably reporting or giving you a fucking hands, a high five. And I'm,
you know,
right,
what? I'll agree with you on that. I'll agree with you on that one. But what I'm saying is the part that I'm saying there's a disconnect is what people think about. Okay, so if this chick is going around and she's sleeping with five dudes, she's still looked at as a hoe right now. She's still considered a hoe. Sweetheart, I've seen it. And this is the other part. I'm coming from the female point of view. You're coming from the male point of view. There's no way for you to even know what that is. The same way no way for me to know what it is for you either.
Listen. I'm fin straddling right now, and it's gonna come off sounding a lot of weird. Really weird. I got a lot of motherfucking female friends, and I got a lot of younger people in my circle. Meaning that the people that I associate with, they have kids. So it's really not considered like it was back in the day. If you got five dudes, you fucking, it's kind of equal playing field now. They kind of look at the female like you pimping. You kind of getting your thing in. It's becoming more and more equal. Back in our day, when we were coming up, you were a whore.
I would agree with that.
You fuck with five chicks, you were a whore. But now it's kind of like, girl, shit, get your motherfucking dick. Like,
well,
it's,
shit,
it's
I'm definitely an advocate.
That's
but,
real.
You know,
that's
I'm about
real.
Which, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, girl, get your dick. We ain't even mad at you. You know what I mean? Like, you fucking five
I still
you
think
five
that. I still think that women learning about themselves is something that still needs to happen. We're getting better. Yes, I will agree with you on that one. We are getting better. I think we still have strides to go, especially in the black community. Because in the black community, it's kind of, and I'm not necessarily speaking about the younger generations. I'm talking about our generation and above us. It's still looked down and frowned upon in certain areas. You know what I mean? Now, the millennials and all of them, hey, they're going to go for what they know. But when it comes to the outside and how things are being portrayed right now, I don't think that that's necessarily, you know, it's not as good as I think it should be at this point. That's just my opinion.
I don't know. You know how they say generation is like, once you get old, you kind of stuck in your ways. So, I mean, as though I have hope that our generation will adapt some of these newer principles that the younger generation is taking on. Some of them, not all of them. All that fucking...
Mm-hmm.
Having a seizure dancing and all that shit, I get behind that. But like,
what?
As far as like liberalism, you know what I mean? The embracing differences, you know what I mean? But at the same time, not demeaning any kind of gender or whatever else. I kind of like, I'm digging that, you know what I mean? So I don't think it's any hope for our generation. I think we're pretty much fucked, like setting our ways, but.
I think some of us are waking up still too. Our kids, our kids are the ones that are the ones that are saying, "Hey, y'all really need to rethink this shit." So I think that some of us are getting it. I believe I got it.
Yeah,
I think it's a generational thing, though. It's a generational thing.
It is definitely
because
a disconnect.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, like, right now, I mean, you, Danny, and also you, Nas, we're all a part of Generation X.
Nope.
You know, we're the last people that have freaking common sense out of the generations. I mean, because after us, you got the millennial. Oh, my goodness. Generation, what is it? Generation Y, Z. All of them are.
Wait, time
bro.
Out. BP, what year were you born?
76.
You are actually in a different generation than us.
Yeah, I'm Generation X. I think Danny is Generation X too.
We're the same year. We're both 79.
Yeah, he's Generation X.
So, we're actually our generation, because our generation actually is not necessarily X. I think we're called the something. I forgot what the word is. I'm looking.
ZZ.
But
it's that
no. But we're the generation that we're the only generation that knows what it is to not have electronics and to have it. Not no
I'm
social
still
media
up in that
and
demon
also
on
no
God,
social media.
I'm still pulling up. Because
when
that
we
demon
were,
because
when we, because when we was in high school, that's when the internet really started.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, that's real.
Generation X. You are,
well,
you are,
I mean,
you are an exennial, 77 and 83.
Right. See, that's what I'm saying. See, you, that's okay. What I was talking about. So yeah, we're the only generation that knows what life is before and after. Everybody before us, y'all was out by the time it happened. Y'all was done with high school. Y'all was going into adulthood. We were still in teenage years, so we knew what that was. We were the ones who was learning the shit. And now our kids, they don't know what to. Oh my God, there's no internet. I don't have a cell phone. Oh my God, are you serious? Well, at least not my kids. They're actually okay with that. Because we train them, we raise them that way. But like that our
right.
generations, they the ones that have they got phones. They had phones when they was five. My kids didn't have phones when they was five. They didn't get phones until they was pretty much in high school. But
you know
you got
what?
5 year olds that got phones
we have
now.
We have ran out of time. So maybe we need
to extend
the time in future episodes. But hey,
you know what? We'll just revisit this.
Yeah. We definitely will. Part two coming up soon, so definitely tune in and listen in to the Life and Shit Radio podcast because we are all over the place. Google us, baby, and you'll be able to find it. Just type it in, Life and Shit. LifeandShyt is where you can find us. So make sure that you check for us. We appreciate all of our listeners. We appreciate all of you guys checking in for us day in and day out. We love you. Any shout-outs real quick?
Just thank y'all
None.
For listening, for those that do listen. Hey, much love to everybody.
And on that note...
I want to give a shout...
Go ahead.
Have time. I want to give a shout-out. Poland, Chechnya, Indonesia, and Sweden, our new listeners. I want to give a shout-out.
Thank
to
you, guys. Thank you so much.
There it is. And on that note, folks... Guess what? We are out of here. See you later. Until next show, Life and Shit Radio, all up in your eardrums. Hey. And I put that on guard.
Oh, my gosh.